إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، بجدك والله سبحانه وتعالى في أفضل الصلاة أن السلام محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى to increase our iman and grant everyone of us an istiqamah, the steadfastness and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, we continue our discussion on the al-muharramat min al-nisa. Discussion on the forbidden women from men to man. In our last discussion, we discussed the first segment or the first group of women that are forbidden upon men to marry due to family relationship. Today, inshallah, we take the next one, which is al-muharramat. Al-muharramat ta'qiqan. Al-muharramat ta'qiqan. The first one we discussed has to do with the permanently forbidding women for men to marry. Those women that one is not allowed under the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take any one of them as a wife. There's no any condition that allows someone to marry any one of this group. We call them al-muharramat ta'abidan. The forbidden is permanently with the Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means there's no any condition and there's no any situation that can make someone to marry on any one of the women that fall into this group. So today, inshallah, we move on to al-muharramat ta'qiqan, the permanently forbidden women. These are a group of women that we are not allowed to marry anyone or any one of them in the situation that they are. But if that situation changes, then we are allowed in Sharia to marry any one of them. So that means their marriage, our marriage with any one of them, is conditional. Otherwise, it will remain forbidding, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not allow that for any one of us. But if the condition changes, then we can make a proposal. We can attend a gathering, a wedding that is done on the basis. When we say that women that we are not allowed to marry, it's not just that it is forbidden on all to marry anyone of them. So also we must not attend any wedding that both the man and the woman are not compatible and not Islamic law. If someone is invited to wedding, then they will know that is getting married to his sister, then he's forbidding Sharia for someone to attend such a gathering. You don't go back to your house. another example, you get to know that the man that wants to marry the sister, that man has already married the mother of the sister. So when you get to discover that the marriage is really changed, your friend, or a man that invited you, or that invited someone that invited you, that man starts to be a stepmother to the sister that he wants to take as a wife. So it is forbidden. So that is essence. So alhamdulillah, we all understand that we cannot marry women that we are not allowed under the scope of Sharia to marry. But at the same time, we must not also participate. Many of us do not understand this angle, which means for people to attend some wedding ceremonies where the couples are not compatible. In the case where a Muslim man is a Muslim lady is getting married with a Christian. Yeah. Is that a problem or is it a problem? So me, I don't know if my colleague in office, I have to attend. It's my boss, I have to attend. Because the essence of attendance is a witness, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to call everyone of us to give account to on the day of judgment. So if something is made forbidden for you, according to the Quran or Sunnah, then you are not supposed to assist someone else in committing the same offense. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made forbidden, unlawful, then as you made it to be unlawful on yourself, you must also not assist some people in committing the same crime. This is one of the foundations of Islam. So, al-muharramat taqitan, those women that Islam forbids on every one of us to marry because of their present condition. And if that condition is lifted, then we are allowed to marry them. There is a principle, and there is a soul suffering, there is a paradise that says, إذا زالت العلة if the reason is lifted, that's what I'm saying. If the reason is lifted, the cause is lifted, then the effect of that cause also will be erased, will be lifted as well. So illa, is do not do this because of this. So when because of this is no more there, you can do it. That is the meaning. إذا زالت العلة زالت المعلولة. So this principle is applicable in many activities under the scope of Sharia. So the same thing on the group of women in this segment. If the condition is there, then that means the illa is still there. The condition is their present condition, their present situation. But once the present situation is no more there, then the ruling that says they are forbidden as been lifted. So this set of women, we are allowed to marry them when their condition is lifted. But if we are still in the same condition, then we are not allowed to marry anyone of them. According to the book, يُحْرَمُ تَأْكِيدًا عِدَّةً عِدَّةُ النِّسَاءِ يمكن تَقْسِيمَهُ إِلَى نَوْعَيْنِ. The women in these two are divided into two. Number one, what is forbidden because of combination? That's one group. Out of the temporarily forbidden women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid them. Why? Because of their combination. We cannot combine them. Number two. مَا كَانَ تَعْرِيمُهُ لِعَارِبٍ. What? Because of their forbidden, their temporary forbidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is because of a reason. Of a reason. Another one, مَيُّرَ مِنْ عَيْدِ الْجَمْ. Women that we are not allowed to combine them. When you say combine them, al-jamu means to have both of them at the same time as your wives. Some people misunderstood this. They thought al-jamu is to bring them under the same roof or in one compound. No. Whether you put one in the north, one in the south, whether you put one in Nigeria, one in Saudi Arabia, whether you make this one to be Hausa, another one to be Yoruba, so far, they don't have any husband except you. Both of them stand to be your wife. Your wife. That is the meaning of jamu. Having both of them as your wife at the same time, regardless of where you put them to live in. Al-jamu bayn al-ukhtayn. Number one. It is forbidden to combine between two sisters, the younger sister and the elder sister, while they are twins. A Muslim man enjoys the marital relationship of the first twin. Sorry, the next thing, he approaches the father to have for 10 days, the second twin as a wife, so that both of them will be his wives at the same time. So, al-jamu bayn al-ukhtayn, marrying two sisters together at the same time is forbidden. And that forbidden is not permanent, it's temporary. It's temporary. That is as much as you have the fourth under you as your wife, you cannot take in the second. But if the first one is no, it's not, she's not under you anymore. Maybe because of death or because of hulu or divorce, then in Sharia, there's nothing that stops you to send your proposal to the second twin. And that's the book of Sharia. So what is forbidden on you is to combine both of them together as your wife. Sawa and Kenya come in the method of Minarada. Whether the sisters are joined together by blood relation, Minarada, or by fortune. The one you have as your wife, the woman that breastfed her also breastfed that girl that you love. You cannot marry both of them together because they both breastfed from one mother. So they are sisters. They are sisters according to breastfeeding. وَسَوَا أَنْ أَقْوَدَ عَلَيْهِمَا مَعًا أَوْ مُتَفَرْرَقَ. Whether one intends to make the marriage contract with both of them on the spot, or you marry one now, 5-10 years after, then you marry the other. It is forbidden. You cannot combine both of them. The evidence is there in the Quran. Quran chapter 4, verse 23. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَنْ تَجْمَعُ بَيْنَ الْعُقْتَيْنِ, that you should not combine between two sisters, إِلَّا مَا قَدْ صَلَفَ, except what has taken place before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. That shows that one of the ways of marriage before the advent of Islam is to combine two sisters or to combine a sister with her aunt together, and both of them will become wives under you as you go. This is part of Jahiliya inheritance, Jahiliya period of inheritance, period of ignorance. In Islam, it is forbidden. It's forbidden. One, the scholars, they gave us what could be the reasons behind it. One, they said, you know, marriage is an everlasting. Marriage is a journey. And it is quite important when you marry two sisters at a time, and both of them are your wives at the time, you know, it is time that that marriage will not last. Just a temporary marriage like the practice of the Shiites, which we are coming to that, inshallah. So, that is one. And the essence of marriage is what? Marriage in Islam does not intend for worldly gain alone. In fact, it is a continuation of our living in the Jannah. It's there in the Quran, in the Surah. Allah says, those who believe, Al-haqnahu ma'adhuriyatihim, we make their family to join them in the paradise. So if someone has a wife in this world and he dies, and the wife does not remarry, there is an opportunity for the wife and the husband to be together as husband and wife in the paradise in Al-Jannah. So that means there's a continuity to our marriage after leaving this world. So we cannot achieve that if we marry two sisters at a go. The marriage has its nature. Yes. When you combine, when you have second wife, it's not to have to come upon the partners, the players in the marriage. Jealous. Oh, how? How would you want to control that? It will be quite impossible. When you marry the elder sister, then you marry the younger sister. They may kill themselves. That is one. Then two, another reason why it is forbidden is that it can destroy the family kinship. The family kinship. It can be a reason why the family will get severed, cut off. Because there will be a rival. There will be a rivalry between both of them. So if you marry a sister and you marry a girl, you now marry a younger or elder sister alone at the same time, both of them under your roof as wife, then you know that there will be a family issue in the whole family. Anytime they fight, they will go to the house. Anytime they go to the house, anytime they go to, when they go to greet their parents, they will not exchange conversation. So that means such a marriage will be a means to family severance in Islam. And one of the objectives of Islam is to protect the family genealogy, to protect the family. That's one of the reasons why Islam is different from other religions. So it is not permitted in Islam for someone to marry a girl. They will not marry a sister as the second wife. And both of them will not be his wife at the same time. It's forbidden. But if after marrying the first one, maybe they divorce in between, that means the marriage dissolved, or the girl dies, there's nothing that stops you, under the scope of Sharia, to marry from the same family, even from the same mother or from the same father of your late wife. So Islam permits that. But to combine both of them at the same time, it is forbidden. Number two. الجمع بين المرأة وأمتها وبين المرأة وخالتها وبين المرأة وبنت أختها أو بنت أخيها. It is forbidden on someone to marry a girl and her aunt, whether paternal or maternal, to marry a father's or mother's sister. It is forbidden. Just as it is also forbidden for someone to marry a girl and a sister's daughter. maybe that girl has another sister. She now married the daughter of the sister of your wife. It is forbidden. So you can see how Islam is preserving the family kinship. You can see it. So that there won't be any quarrel. Ordering, if you marry first wife from south, you marry the second one from north. We have many cases where both of them engage in fight, and then at the end of the day, one kill another one. There's a popular proverb in Yoruba that will say, "Osha jento meji obiri osi." That is, there is no any wife that we sit down asking Allah that, "Oh Allah, permit my husband to have second wife." No woman will ever ask for that, for such anything. And that is the nature of every woman. If your wife is telling you, get second wife. She is asking you to do what she does not understand. But when the reality comes, she is the one to send us the second wife away. So you can see, we all know what the polygamy has led to. And it's not a cause. It is a success. It is a success. Wallahi, it is a success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never permit anything on a human being except that thing will be a means to our success, a means to our tranquility, a means to our peace of mind. But to combine a girl and her aunt or our sister's daughter, then Islam does not permit that. No, Islam does not permit that. Well, according to Huda, and the Jamra, your Haram, by the Kulimur Atini, now for the Dutch Hidahu Madakaram, let my dear the love of the Zawas and Okra. The author said, the principle to guide us on this is that, how do you know who among the women that you cannot combine together? They said that the principle says, if you have a wife, any girl that, if you assume that girl is a man, then the man cannot marry your sister. If that girl is a man, you cannot marry your sister. Then if so far is not a man, she's a woman. You, as a man, you cannot marry her. That's the principle. That is, if you want to know who among the family that you cannot marry, because, you know, I don't know of Hausa culture, but I know of Yoruba culture. Yoruba culture, with the mindset of preserving the family tie, family kinship, they go extreme to the level that if you want to marry in a community where one of your elders has married before, they will still forbid it. They will forbid you to do that. They say, why do you want to marry? Because you love me. No. Don't you know that our late grandfather married here? That's the excuse you have. So to find your forefather, five, or father, brother, or anyone in the family has married in that family before, they will say you cannot marry from the family. This is extremism in Yoruba. I don't know about that culture, but in Yoruba culture, there is extremism. So to them, everyone is the family. So if you come from one place, from the same place, and you cannot marry from everyone. No, it has limits. It has limits. There's nothing that stops you from marrying the daughter of your uncle in Islam. The daughter of your uncle, your father's brother's daughter, you can marry her. But in Yoruba, if you do that, I know, you may even say, you are not of this family anymore. You are a pastor, you are this, you are that. That's Yoruba culture. But in Islam, there's nothing that's possible. And even anyone does it, he or she has not done something that is forbidden in Islam. So we must get the limit where we can say that this thing is allowed, this thing is not allowed in Sharia. And that limit will be what Quran has said or what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has dictated. So don't say because your mother comes from Ibadan. The next thing, you cannot marry your mother. Why? Because my mother comes from Ibadan. We have some people like that in Ibadan, they have that mentality. That wherever their father comes, you will not marry from there. Yeah, my father comes from Oyo. I was not married from Oyo because if I marry any girl from Oyo, and that girl is really bad, it will be I'm beating my family of my father, of my dad. See that? That is part of culture, but that culture is nonsense. It's nothing. So if that is the case, we will cancel marriage because all of us were from who? Adam and Hawa. We cancel marriage. So any girl that you have as your wife, if that girl has a man in the family that she cannot marry, he cannot marry her, then if that man should be a woman, you two cannot marry her at the same time you are having this girl in your house. That's the principle of a combination of two sisters. So that is one. Then the reference for this is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, aside the verse of the Quran, where Allah says, "وَأَنْ تَجْمَعُ بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ لَمْ تَفْتَرَقَ." Allah says, "You must not combine two sisters. You must not do that. You take them as a wife. At the same time, you must not do that." Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hadith of Abu Huraira, he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لا يجمع بين المرأة وعمتها. A man does not marry a girl and also marry the aunt of that girl at the same time. ولا بين المرأة وخالتها. Whether the aunt is paternal or maternal. If you marry a sister, you cannot marry the sister to the mother, sister to the mother of your wife. You cannot marry. Or sister to the father of your wife. You cannot do that. And now we're turning another group, Ma kana tahrimuhu li'aridin. The women that we are forbidden to marry him because of one reason or the other. And that reason must be considered. If the reason is there, we cannot marry any one of them. But if the reason is not there, no problem, we are free. Or the reason is lifted. Number one, يُحْرَمُ تَزَوُّجْ الْمُعْتَدَّ مِنَ الْغَيْرِ لِقُولِهِ تَعَالَى وَلَا تَعْزِمُ عُقْدَةَ النِّكَاحِ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ الْكِتَابَ أَجَلَهُ. You cannot marry a woman that is a wife under someone, under a husband, though the husband has pronounced talaq, and the woman is serving a waiting period. Any woman with waiting period, idda to a talaq, you cannot send a proposal. Why? Because she is still a wife. Example, Alhaji Abdurrahman divorces wife. And in Islam is so beautiful. It is said that if a husband divorces his wife, it is not something that the wife will just pack everything of her load and go to the house. No, that is not Islam. That is Jahiliyyah. I don't want to see you. Before I open my eyes, if I see you, why? You want to see her. And if you see her for 3 months, monthly period, she must express her. If that means for her to wait in your house as your wife to express the first period, the first menstruation, the second menstruation, and the third menstruation. After the third menstruation, then she can pack a load and go. in that time that he's no more your wife. So during this period, the waiting period, the Iddah, she is still your wife. Many people do mistakes. There's nothing that can come in between you and your wife. I will say she has to leave immediately, except if she commits zina. If she commits zina, then she has to leave immediately. But it's just normal marital discourse. So you cannot say no, she has to leave. She leaves from where? وَلَا تُخُرِجُهُنْ إِلَّا يَتِنَ بِفَعِشَةِ مُبَجِّنَ. And I think you cannot drive them away from their houses you provided for them. Except the committed one, zina. Without zina, she must express that waiting period. Three menstrual period. Is there in the Quran is talking about her? Inshallah, I'm coming to the last discussion. So, a woman that is expressing the waiting period, that is serving the three menstrual period, and it has not come to the end, then, and instead you want to send a proposal to that woman, whoever that does that, is ashewu in Sharia, he must be punished for proposing to somebody's wife. So this is what Quran is saying. وَلَا تَعْزِمُ عُقُدَةَ النِّكَاحِ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ الْكِتَابُ أَجَلًا. So what if she has finished her waiting period, that the marriage contract has broken, has dissolved? There is nothing that stops you from proposing to her to seek a hand in marriage. Another example. You know, when I'm talking of talaq, we have three, talaq is two. One, revocable one, the one that your husband has right to reverse. You can revoke it, that I've divorced you. Okay, I forgive you, that is one. I divorce you. Okay, I forgive you, that is second. So if you cannot say this on the third time, in another day, if you say it on another day, that I divorce you, then this is what we call talakun al-ba'in. Ba'in, she must leave. I forgive you does not solve the problem. So a woman that is serving the waiting period of after the three pronunciation of divorce, you cannot propose to her while she's still serving it. But after she has finished the waiting period, you are free. Another example, a woman that lost her husband, you know, she has to express the iddatul wafat. The iddatul wafat is 4 months and 10 days. You cannot propose to her because of that condition. But you can be making some introduction. What do you want to buy? Can I be to buy now? You can take the 12.5 cylinder empty. Go and fill for her without asking her to pay any money. You can go to the north to get her kelechi, I mean that fried meat, no problem. You can be doing all these good things, but you must not directly propose to her while she's still expressing the 4 months and 10 days. So immediately she ends the 4 months and 10 days, then you are free to say, Alaja, all these while I have been doing you, because I want to marry you. Ah, Alaji, I'm very sorry. No, I finished my 4 months and 10 days yesterday. In fact, it is this morning that someone proposed to me, I've agreed with you. So, you cannot say that Allah rewards you. Allah cannot reward you because your intention is not to stop Allah. So, though your intention is not, it's not that bad. It's not bad. Ahead, someone that will, you want to step on the wet floor, you pour water on the floor. That's what you are doing, but the boss does not go. Very on Monday. So that's why the Quran says you must not propose to a woman that is serving the 4 months and 10 days. That is the first reason that can make someone to hold on with the proposal because of the condition of the woman. يحرم تزوج من طلاق ثلاثا حتى يطاعها زوج غيره في نكاح صحيح. Another reason why a man cannot still marry a woman is that if you marry a woman and your pronouncement of talaq has become three, one, another day two, another day three, that is talaqu al-bahin, meaning you cannot take her back until she goes to marry another man of her choice with standard marriage contract, not marriage arrangement, no. And she allows that the new husband to have sexual intercourse with her. But if at the end of the day, both of them also feel that this marriage cannot go anymore, they want to dissolve. If they dissolve, you, the former husband, the previous husband, you cannot send the proposal. Whoever that divorces his wife three times, you cannot send proposal until she marries another husband. At-talaqu marratan. Two. The next verse in the Quran, Allah says, wa in talaqaha, if we divorce her on the third time, فَلَا جُنَاهُ فَلَا يَحِلُّ لَهَا حَتَّى تَنْقِيَ زَوْجًا غَيْرًا. She is not permitted to be the wife of the man until she marries another man. And that another man, the marriage is solid, is valid. And both of them engaged in marital sexual intercourse. So if the man also divorces her, the former husband cannot say, okay, let me propose to her. But if she has not married another man, then that woman will become forbidden on that man. You know, many people fail on this so much. They fail on it. They will divorce. I don't want you. I don't go to your house. I've divorced you. Not to see the children. Then, now some of them, when they go to Sharia court, they will lie. Like, Qadi, it's just one time I pronounced talaq. And you are pronounced more than even 10 times. So that's why you have to be very, very careful in using that word to punish our wife. There's nothing your wife can do to you. Don't use the statement to punish her. I've divorced you. I don't want to marry you. I'm not marrying you again. If you say it, then it has become valid. Out of two, one has done. Another day, you say, making two. This two that is, if waited, it is what, if you use it, you can still revoke the woman back as your wife. But if you make the third term of pronouncement, that is final. Like final. So a man that has divorced his wife, third term, cannot marry that woman until the woman voluntarily, willingly, married another man of her choice, not arrange it. They don't call nikahu shigal. Nikahu shigal is when the previous husband, the former husband, makes arrangements with another man to pretend to marry the woman that he has divorced three times, for him to have access to that woman, so that, please, let me just marry her for 1 week, and divorce her after that week. I'll not marry her again. It shouldn't be that arranging. So that's what the Quran is saying here. فَإِنْ تَلَّقُهَا, if you divorce your wife, talking, فَلَا تَحِدُّ لَهُ, that woman is not lawful for that man anymore. مِنْ بَعْدُ حَتَّى تَنْكِيَ زَوْجًا غَيْرًا, once she marries another man. Number three, يحرم تزوج المحرمة حتى تحل من حرامها, لحديث عثمان بن عفان رضي الله تعالى عنه. A woman that you meet on Hajj, on Umrah, you come for Umrah, she comes for Umrah too. Both of you come for Umrah or come for Hajj. Why the woman You stayed in the state of Israel. You cannot propose to that woman that you want to marry. But you can be doing pepepuru. You can bring some introductions. Yes. When she enters car, you can pay. When she buy this, you pay. Anywhere you find her, just give her something. Waiting for her to do what? To finish her Hajj or Umrah. After that, you cannot send your proposal. But if she stayed in the state of Ihram, she's still a Muhrimah, she's been Umrah, or she's still doing Hajj, then you cannot do that. You cannot send a proposal. This is what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَنْكِحُ الْمُحْرِمُ وَلَا يُنْكَحُ وَلَا يَقُطُبُ. You cannot marry a woman that is in the state of Ihram, and she cannot marry a man in the state of Ihram. You cannot even send a proposal. Cannot send a proposal. Number four, يُحْرَمُ تَزَوُّجُ الْكَافِرُ بِالْمَرْحَةِ الْمُسْلِمَةِ. It is forbidden also to marry a non-Muslim lady. A non-Muslim lady. A Muslim man cannot marry a non-Muslim lady until she becomes a Muslim man. Now, listen. A non-Muslim man, they are idol worshippers. Those who are not Christians, they are not Jews. Neither Jews nor Christians. They are idol worshippers. Those that their own religions do not have anything in connection with the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the messengership and the prophethood of those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. You cannot marry any one of them. The sun worshippers, the iron worshippers, the moon worshippers, the magians, you cannot marry any one of them. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تُنْكِهُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُوا. Do not give your own daughters. Do not give your own daughters. وَلَا تُنْكِهُوا. Do not give your daughters to the mushrikeen, to the mushrikeen. حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُوا. Until those mushrikeen accept Islam. So that means, a Muslim lady cannot marry any non-Muslim. A Muslim lady cannot marry any non-Muslim. But even if it is a Christian, she cannot marry. Even if it is a Jew, she cannot marry. She can only marry a Muslim. Then number five, وَيُهْرَمَ الْأَمْرَجُ الْمُسْلِمَ أَيْتَ زَوَّجَ الْكَافِرَ إِلَّا الْكِتَابِيَّةِ. A Muslim man also cannot marry all non-Muslims except the Jews, the Jew or the Christian. As a Muslim man, you can marry a Christian, a female Christian, a female Jew. Yes, but it is not encouraging. It is not advisable to do that. Yes, but there are conditions on that. And one of the conditions is not for you to change your religion. That's what some people say, I want to marry her to change her religion. Who sent you? Is it possible? How many people have done that? Out of 100, maybe 5 or 10 have done that. In every 100, maybe 5. The remaining 95, they become Christians. even the children too. The children will follow their mothers. So we have Prophia, Fatima, Aisha. We have thousands of female Muslims. Why are you now running after Paulina and Cynthia? It is not haram if a Muslim man should do that, but it is not encouraging. Why? Number one, the children must not follow our religion. They must follow your religion because the children are attached to the father. Number two, you must not allow her to go to churches. Then number three, if you want to serve in a Christianity or a Jewish way, you have to allow her to do that in your own compound, in your own house. But you must not allow her to go out for church service. But she can do the church service in the house. You can see. So it's not a must that you have to change your religion to Islam. It is not a must. There is no any text that says that. But what text is that as a Muslim man, you can marry a Tabia, either Jew or Christian, no problem. But you cannot marry a non-Jew or non-Christian woman, like idol worshippers, the sun worshippers, cannot marry them. So a Muslim lady cannot marry any other man except a Muslim. But a Muslim man can only marry Jew or Christian or Muslim. If you cannot marry Yolobu, idol worship a woman, you might do that. Depends. Inshallah, we will continue after that. I don't know. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Now, alhamdulillah, salatu wa salam, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, well, the sanat wa min al-laylina utul kitab min qablikum. Allah says, it is also permissible for you, the men, to marry those who have been given book for you, to marry the female Christian, to marry as a female Jew. A Muslim man can do that. But as you said, it is not that encouraging. Islam permits that, according to that verse of Surah Al-Ma'idah, Quran chapter 5, verse 5. Al-Yawm Uhilla Lakum Tayyibat. Allah says, today he has permitted for you the good things. وطعام الذين أوتوا الكتاب حل لكم. The animals slaughtered by the Ulul Kitab, the Jews and the Christians, the animals slaughtered are also permitted for you. وطعامكم حل لهم. And your own animals that should be slaughtered also permitted for them. So the animals slaughtered by them, among the animals permitted for us to eat, some of them eat pork. You can't say because our Quran has said that the animal slaughtered by them, you can eat it. No. Any animal permitted for us to eat, and the Jew or the Christian slaughtered such an animal, we are free to eat it. Like cow, like chicken, like fowl, like goat, but elephant, pig, no. Because it is forbidden. Lion, no. It is forbidden. Even if a Muslim slaughters pig or lion, he cannot eat it. So one should not use this evidence that, no, that's evidence now that whatever the slaughter we can, not whatever, it's not whatever. Among those animals permitted for you to eat, that is one. Then two, it is not every time they slaughter that we eat their food. If they slaughter for something to go against Allah, then we don't eat that animal. That's the essence. We don't eat animal slaughtered during Easter, Christmas, New Year, Nehruz. We don't eat. Because all these celebrations, they are not the celebrations in their own religion. They are invented by the Roman emperors, by the idol worshippers of Roman Empire. So it is not any time they slaughter, we eat. No, we don't eat like that. What is the slaughter for? Naming ceremony, housewarming, wedding, they slaughter cow or sheep or goat. No problem. You can eat it. وَمَا أُهِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ. This is one of those animals that you cannot eat. Any animal that is slaughtered to pray, to make, to proclaim something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not permit. You must not allow. Even if it is, we have some Muslims too, that they will say they want to do Usainiyah Day, and they slaughter Aram. Do we eat it? No. Why? No evidence for it. We have Iliadi, we have Eid al-Fitri, Eid al-Hadiya, we have naming, we have housewarming and so on and so forth. We don't have Husseiniya. None of the companions ever did it. Muhammad al-Asa never did it. It's Vidya. It's Vidya. Or someone would now say, though, he wants to do Maulid Nabi, celebrating Muhammad by it. I would now ask him, how old is Muhammad now? Because some of you are the baby of someone, that means the person has increased 1 year. Abi? Do you the birthday of a dead person? But innovation will not open many people say. So anyone that slaughters animals for celebrating the birthday of the prophet, you will say he's doing what has no basis in Sharia. Slaughtering animal in Sharia can come in 3 ways. To worship Allah directly, like Eid al-Hajjah, like Nusku in Hajj. The other one, the aqiqah, the naming ceremony, the money is part of it. Then number two, for business making, you slaughter a cow to sell it, no problem. Then for personal use also, you slaughter it to eat it. But for you now to slaughter it, why? Because today is my birthday. So that is innovation. You are proclaiming, you see your day as a great day. Who told you that your day is great? To make any day a great day, it should be referential, which you don't have evidence in the Quran. If a day should be, if you allow to slaughter animal in a day, it should be Friday. That's the biggest day in a week. Upon that, Allah never allowed that. Now the celebration slaughtering animal every Friday. Why? Today is Friday. Today is Friday. No, we have Eid al-Adha, even Eid al-Fitri. Eid al-Fitri, you are not supposed to slaughter with the mindset of making udhiyah or making sacrifice for Allah. But okay, just look, you have 4 wives, you have 20 children, then you want to slaughter Ram, no problem for Eid al-Fitri. But don't make it to be on a yearly basis as if you are doing Iliyah. Iliyah is coming now. If you slaughter cow, goat, alake or emu or camel, it's allowed. Because that's what called nusuk in Sharia. So these are part of the ruling that we have in Islam. Inshallah, we continue. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our iman. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallam.